Welcome, and thanks for listening to Intrinsic Investigations. My name is Mr. Olivo, and I created this podcast because I've been fortunate enough over the last decade to see unique and thought-provoking projects happen in my classroom, and we wanted a place to showcase them. The true heart of this podcast lies not in the content discovered, but in exploring the personal stories of these young researchers as they journey through uncharted and unfamiliar intellectual terrain. By sharing their stories, we hope to normalize the challenges and frustrations that come with independent research, and also share those moments where students transcend the normal grind of the school day to discover concepts that range from the global to deeply personal. We will begin with a brief introduction to the student of focus, why they picked their topic, and discuss their growth over the course of the last year. It should be mentioned that the opinions expressed in this podcast in no way reflect the opinions of our school district, Bergen County Technical Schools and Special Services, or our school itself, Bergen County Technical High School Teterboro, or the College Board. The work detailed in this podcast was most likely completed in AP Capstone, but this podcast is in no way affiliated with the College Board. Now that we've gotten the introductions out of the way, our interview today is with Kevin, who will be exploring implicit marketing in firearms podcasts. Kevin, can you give people a brief introduction to you before we get into your work?
Hi, I'm Kevin Cho. I'm a high school student here at BT. And if you want to know something about me, I play the flute somewhat decently sometimes.
It's true. I've heard him play the flute. He plays it more than decently. He's an excellent flautist.
Lovely. I also like Warhammer 40K and just military history in general.
So, big scale, small scale, he's all over the military.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. All right, so let's get rolling. We're going to talk about Kevin's work over the last year and the last 2 years and what he was able to discover about, in this case, the marketing of guns on podcasts and what he was able to discover about himself. So, Kevin, you want to give an overview of the work that you did over the last 8 months in this class, please?
Yeah, so I wanted to do a study on how firearms are marketed to the public through like new mediums made possible by the internet. And while my study was first focused on YouTube videos, I found research that had already covered that topic. So I moved on to the podcast and how the podcast is different from other marketing mediums. So then I did a content analysis of how firearms-related podcasts on Spotify market firearms to their audience in different ways.
And what inspired you to choose that particular topic of interest?
So a lot of the influencers that I first considered for the YouTube study were influencers that I watched when I was, like, before times, like when I was in middle school.
Yeah. The long, long ago?
The long, long ago. And it was always, like, this conflict in my head because, like, I'd see, like, all the tragedy happening from firearms. Like, I was around during Sandy Hook. I was around during all these shootings. But at the same time, I'm watching these influencers, and they're saying firearms are such a pivotal part to American culture that I can't take away. And they would talk about gun control as if it was just the sort of universal evil that, like, no American should accept. So I was really conflicted about this because I couldn't really think of any other solution to gun violence besides just taking away the guns. And I'd always hear these arguments like, oh, like in the UK, nobody has guns, but they're still not safe from attacks. And none of it really made sense to me, which is why I decided to do my study around firearms.
So what age did you be? So you said middle school was when you became most aware of this, but you felt like this is your senior year of high school. This was the first opportunity you really had to explore this phenomenon in a way that you wanted to.
Yeah, because a lot of the discussion around this topic is so sensationalized because like people associate firearms with so much more than they actually are. Like, you'll see a lot of the coverage from like the conservative angle of this topic on like how liberal media outlets don't cover firearms as if they have any knowledge of the subject, or like they'll make fun of politicians for like their untruthful descriptions of what these firearms do, and they'll blow it up into like this larger thing about like how we're not understood and we're mistreated as a result due to these people not understanding the tools we use to exercise the Second Amendment right, or things like that, or just like they're trying to destroy American liberties by taking away our firearms, which ties into the whole like 2A culture thing that I reviewed for my research.
And you feel that it's that that the Second Amendment and the resulting gun rights argument should be more nuanced than that, I'm guessing, based on what you're saying?
I just wish, like, something would get done. Like, I wish there would be an actual, like, decision on the issue. Because, like, I don't think either side is completely right. Like, there should be some sort of regulation. Like, the National Firearms Registry, like, you'll hear a lot of debate over, like, whether we have one or not. But, like, looking at the actual data, only 1% or something insane of the firearms in the United States are actually registered. Because it depends on, it's by the state. And the FBI's National Database of Firearms is also, like, horrendously outdated. So I think, I hate to use the term, like, used by politicians, but, like, common sense gun regulation really is, like, a thing, but it's been so sensationalized by the news media over the years that I don't really see anything happening with this debate in the future.
All right, so obviously this topic is part of the American consciousness, and this problem of guns and how we use guns, how guns are marketed, you're looking at a small sliver of that with the research that you did. So can you walk someone who's, you know, not familiar with your work but is familiar with the topic through how you tried to analyze one facet of this problem? And I know this is going to be heavily tied to podcasts as well, which probably when you were in middle school weren't nearly as much of a force culturally as they are now. So if you want to blend those two together, I think that might help the audience out.
All right. So podcasts have been a growing medium recently in, like, the advertising scene. Like, I don't know the true figures, but I think the Pew Research study found that 40% of Americans aged 12 and up had listened to a podcast in the past month. It might have been 40. I forget the exact percentage.
It's okay. The audience can always fact check. We always try to be transparent when we don't know things in this class. So yeah. It's totally fine.
Yeah, we should. We'll link the study in the bio of this podcast.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But they're a rapidly growing medium, and a lot of the research that is currently being done around podcasts, which there isn't enough of, but there still is a substantial amount, seem to find that the main way that a podcast is able to market to its audience is not, it doesn't really matter what the product is, so long as the host is, like, a credible guy who has a strong relationship with its audience. Because the podcast, in essence, it feels a lot like you're participating in an actual conversation with these guys when you listen to 2-3 hours of a podcast. So what ends up happening is that podcasts become, like, really good at generating parasocial host-audience relationships, where the audience feels like they have an actual personal relationship with the host, but the host doesn't feel the same way towards them. So I think the main implication of my research is not it's not completely regarding firearms, because I think there's a limit to how much action can be taken at, like, the larger, like, federal level on gun control. But I do think that individual consumers should be more aware when they're listening to these podcasts of how podcasters can use this host-audience relationship to market products towards them, including but not limited to firearms.
Right, and that would make me think of, when you think of popular podcasters, you think of Joe Rogan, who obviously has advertisers. But what you're saying with these parasocial connections is that just the mere mention of something that could be purchased, right, some kind of commodity on the part of the host, if the audience feels like, hey, you know, I'm just using Rogan as an example here, like, Joe Rogan's just, I feel like he's speaking to me. I feel like he really understands me. And then he says something about insert product XYZ there. They'll be like, oh, like, Joe Rogan likes that. Maybe I should get that too, even though it might not be one of his main advertisers.
Yeah, it's like some people, like, there's this YouTube channel of this guy. I forgot his name. It's something philosopher, but he's like this cowboy kind of guy that gives life advice on the internet. And at the beginning of every little, like, spiel, he'll show, like, what tobacco he's smoking for that day, because he always has to fill his pipe while he's doing this podcast, basically. He's just talking into the camera.
So now, for your study, you were looking at implicit and explicit marketing. The cowboy philosopher example that you just gave, when he shows that tobacco, based on the way that you were trying to systematically understand this work, would that be explicit marketing or would that be implicit marketing?
I think that's more explicit, because he mentions that he's being sponsored to show this tobacco, but it also goes to show, like, how easy it is to market to an audience through any medium on the internet, really, because it's not technically a podcast.
Right. And now that, well, we'll get into your findings in a second, but now that you've become very aware of, and you just mentioned it right there, just the amount of advertising that is coming in your direction on the internet on a regular basis, has doing the type of work you did in this project made you more sensitive to that in terms of being able to detect it and just your own thoughts, feelings, and behaviors when you know you're being exposed to it? Or limited change, no change, or?
I mean, I've always been somewhat aware of it, but I still believe that it being marketed to on the internet is not always necessarily a bad thing. Like, there are going to be products that, like, truly do make a positive impact on your life that you learn about through these podcasts, but they also could be firearms, which aren't always a positive influence on people.
So then let's dig into how you went about researching this. And this is a common thing that'll come up in this podcast, but these students engaged in original research. So this isn't like when I went to high school, I had a research paper where it was essentially a report. I gathered a large amount of sources. I used peer-reviewed sources, but I was just reporting on existing information. What Kevin did and other podcasters that you'll listen to is that they engage in original research. So Kevin's method was a?
Content analysis.
So Kevin is going to engage in a content analysis, and this was both qualitative and quantitative?
Yeah.
So in engaging in this content analysis, if you want to talk about the podcast that you looked at and what was revealed, what did your original research show about the questions that you were exploring in this topic?
So my research found that, I mean, consistent with most past research on firearms marketing, the attributes, the physical attributes, accuracy, precision, reliability, weight of the firearm were generally, were like one third of the codes that I found were related to the physical attributes of the firearm, which is consistent with previous findings that most of how firearms are marketed are based on physical attributes. But I also found that the appeal to the host audience relationship, the appeal to the credibility that the host has built up with his audience through a variety of different means, such as like hinting at personal usage of the product, hinting like, hey, like I use this firearms, like maybe you should too. That kind of thing was also very common on these podcasts, more so than it was on other mediums such as YouTube, Instagram, or Twitter.
So would that be them describing using the gun? Is that an example? Like, they're like, oh, I held this gun. It was very lightweight, super accurate. Like, is that what you were coming across?
Yeah. There was this one podcast I looked at. It was Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. And he mostly talks about, like, how he hunts using firearms. But he brought up this one firearm, which was sponsoring the podcast, but not, like, that particular segment of it. I should have named the actual company. But, he was talking about how he used this rifle this past summer, and like I had to hump it around for like 10 miles a day to hunt these deer, but like I didn't feel it because the rifle weighs only 5 pounds. Like that's how the attributes, the weight of the firearm, also combines with like the personal usage.
Gotcha.
And the credibility.
Okay. And while you were going through, you had done a sort of a mini content analysis last year in AP seminar, the course that preceded AP research, but this was really your first time doing it for an entire year.
Yeah.
How did you go about dealing with this new type of way of approaching media? You basically did a media studies project, which I'm going to assume you really, other than SEM, were not really taught media studies in any other area of your high school or middle school career.
Yeah.
So how did you go about managing this? Did you consult outside help, or what was it like for you?
So I did consult a lot of outside help, or a lot from one person, Dr. Lisa Jordan of Drew University. I believe she's a biology professor currently. But she did a similar study to mine, except on Twitter and YouTube, of how firearms are marketed to people on those two platforms, like on influencers. And she really helped me a lot with, first, my line of reasoning for why my topic's important. Like, I had this big spiel about, like, how firearms are strongly correlated with more gun violence, but at the same time, firearms are being marketed to the public through these mediums. But she also found me this court case of where the families of the victims of the Sandy Hook shooting sued Remington Arms Company for having marketed the firearm that was used in the shooting. And I wish I had researched this from yesterday, but they had to pay the families a couple million dollars in a settlement because of it, and Remington was already bankrupt at that point. So I think her introducing me to that case really helped me, like, make the point that action can be taken on the issue of firearms marketing, even if it can't be taken on the issue of, like, gun regulation itself. It still can be taken through other means, such as that case.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So compared to other courses that you've had, and if I don't know if any of the listeners are interested in research themselves, how do you compare the level of autonomy you had in this class with an independent research project versus other classes, and what kind of challenges did that pose for you?
So this class was a significant bit more autonomous than something like AP seminar or any other like social sciences kind of class I'd taken in the past. And it wasn't autonomous to the point where we were just given a deadline to like, hey, get this paper done by May 8th in September. Good luck. And but at the same time, we were still regulated to a point through like mainly the prep, the monthly reflection we were expected to do for this class with the deadline, which I think really helped me because like besides the prep, like you decide like when you want to do everything you have to do for your research over the month, and it's very much a combined effort over time to get this paper done. You can't get it done in a night. So I think the level of autonomy in this class is really, really ideal for an introduction to how research is done and how it's a really drawn out effort over time instead of just drawn out over a week like most research papers I've done before.
No matter what answer you get in a single study, it's just going to splinter off into a possibly infinite number of new questions. So are there other studies that you think, even if you don't undertake them, what do you think is still worth analyzing regarding your media analysis of guns and gun marketing or podcasts and podcast marketing? What do you think are some worthwhile questions to be explored, even if you're not the one to do the exploring?
So I think that podcast marketing really should be looked into more. Because my study, like, first of all, it wasn't that big of a sample size. I only analyzed, like, 6 episodes of 5 podcasts. But at the same time, it was also only in one market, right? It's only in the firearms market. So I think, yeah, so I think that future studies should do more of what I did with larger sample sizes and looking into, like, how podcast marketing is used in different markets or through, like, the most popular podcasts on Spotify to market different products to the audience. So essentially, I think studies on podcast marketing, how it's done, more content analyses like this one should be done in order to like better differentiate what goes on in these different podcasts.
Great. Any words of advice for anyone who's considering in high school taking on an original research project at all, in a general sense?
I think the biggest thing that I wanted to, my main goal when I started this was that my study has some sort of implications, like real-world implications, which is a lot easier with firearms than it is with something else, like gender representation in Marvel movies, which I'm not saying those studies don't have value. I just don't think there's much action that can be taken, like concrete action that can be taken by society, besides just like letting people know, hey, these movies aren't terribly representative of different genders. Well, with firearms, you can just point to how many people have died in the past years of firearms-related causes in America and just be like, hey, something should be done about this. It's a lot more concrete of an issue. So I think my greatest piece of advice that I can give for anybody looking to do original research in high school is pick a topic that, first of all, you feel passionate about, but also something that, like, something can actually be done about it, like the Remington Arms versus Sandy Hook case. And go forward with that, because it'll make writing your literature review a lot easier.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for all your work over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Cho, everybody. That's our first episode.